When I first started aiming toward full-time vocational ministry, we're all supposed to be in full-time ministry, right? But I remember the joke amongst pastors that ministry would sure be fun if it didn't have to do with people. Now, there's something there. You know, there's something there that is right and very wrong also. Ministry has been fun because of people. But man, can it be a pain, because people can be people. You know, from Genesis 3, no? What? You're shocked at that statement? From Genesis 3 on, we have the sin problem. And it's most easily seen in our selfishness, in our haughtiness of thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. And when I am more important than you, we've got a conflict. Very often, you think you're more important than me, and the conflict grows. I know more than you. Well, no, and it goes on. Prejudice in our country, we're really familiar with it, and it's a sad thing to our family. We don't understand it. It was part of my Robinson background also, and it doesn't make sense to me. I never was comfortable with it and liked it. Our family back in Florida, it's part of the warp and woof of their culture back there. Prejudice, it doesn't make sense. And we had a man here, I don't think he was a brother, that on one occasion I mentioned some missionary people where you were supporting in France. And that guy started yelling. He hated the French. He never came back. I'm thinking, whoa. What has he experienced, you know? I never found out. But there was this intense hatred toward another people group, most of whom he never, ever met. Yeah, it is weird. But you know what? Here's the early church in the book of Acts. Brand new birth of the church. We've been looking at it. The chapters are unfolding in an amazing way. God's grace was incredible. But then the people who were there, I think, kind of got weary a little bit. Abundant grace was upon them all, according to the scripture. We have them ministering to the needs of one another to the extent of selling their property, their real estate, and bringing the money, the proceeds, to meet the needs of the brethren. That's an amazing thing. Now, there was a lot of people gathered in Jerusalem on this day of Pentecost. It was just a part of their culture. The feast that happened throughout the year, Jewish people from all over looked forward to, man, that was party time. That was reunion time. That was cultural religion. And for some, it was worship of the true God. And I believe every feast that God initiated pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ, the fulfillment of all of that Judaism. So we've got people all gathered together. Acts chapter 6. Sometimes the Greek words are really an important factor of understanding what is happening here. And I'm going to bring out a few of those this morning. Acts chapter 6. Well, let's go back to Acts chapter 5. The apostles, in verse 41, went on their way from the presence of the council, the Sanhedrin, rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer for his name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on teaching. That's what they were commanded not to do. No longer, you're not teachers, you're not educated, and especially in that name of Jesus. That name, and that name is even spoken of here, in this, it's implied at least with reverence, that name. From house to house, kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus Christ, or Jesus as the Messiah, as the Christ. Now, in those days, or at that time, while the disciples were increasing in number. And how many disciples do we have roughly so far? At least 5,000. At least 5,000 disciples. And the 12 are mentioned in verse 2. The 12 that we call, the 12 disciples or 12 apostles as Jesus named them. But they were increasing in number. And at this time, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic. The word Jews is kind of implied, so it is supplied to your text. Against the native, that also is a word that is not in the Greek, but it is implied. Hebrews. Because their widows are being overlooked in the daily serving of food. Okay. Why were the Hellenistic Hebrew people being disregarded and overlooked by the non-Hellenistic Hebrew people? Hellenistic is a word, Hellenized. They were a people, Hebrew by blood through Abraham, absolutely no question. But as the Greek world started influencing them from 300 BC, clear up to 300 AD, and now we're in the 30s somewhere AD, Greek, the Roman world that it was the foundation of that was Greek culture. These people were foreigners. They were not just influenced by, but they'd taken on the language, not the Hebrew language, but the language of Greek and the culture of Greek. Why did they come to Jerusalem? Because they're of the Hebrew lineage, and this is Pentecost. Prior to that was Passover. They were there for that too. This is 50 days later. But there was a problem. I encountered a similar problem just a couple of years ago with you guys that were with me in Romania. There's a people group in Romania that are floaters. They really don't belong anywhere. And I know you've heard that which they're called, the word gypsy. They're considered Romanians by those outside of Romanians, but the Romanians are, no, they're not from us. They came in from somewhere else, which they probably did, but they have the Romanian language. But they are still their own subculture. And what we came in contact with from believers in Jesus Christ in Romania, they were extremely prejudiced against the gypsies. Hated them. Gypsies were known for being pickpockets, thieves, cons, and they've earned that reputation. We drove through certain cities on our way to the couples retreat that several of us put on. Here's this Romanian, and all of a sudden there's this house that looks like it's decorated with trinkets and bells and a silverish roof made out of aluminum. It was just different. And they said, it's gypsy. And they have their own name for that. You know what? There was a man and woman among us. Do you guys remember Mikey's wife's name?
Marta.
That is right. Thank you. You're good. Mikey and Marta. Mikey and Marta were related to some of the key people in the Baptist church in Timișoara, of which we kind of had to come under their umbrella, in a sense, to do ministry in this little village where we were. Mikey and Marta were doing the unspoken. Their own mom and dad, that believers in Jesus Christ, were ashamed of what Mikey and Marta were doing. They were reaching out to gypsies in Jesus' name. I talked to them about this. Why? Because they need the Lord. How else are they going to change? How else are they going to see the Father? They were deeply concerned about their soul. And against the flow of their culture, they turned and were doing outreaches to the gypsies. And by the way, it is a dangerous outreach. Truly a dangerous outreach. And frankly, I smiled and loved it. when I was there in 1985, I did have a slight amount of contact with gypsies. It's pretty cool, you know? But it was against the culture. Now, same thing, by the way, is here. Church to church. In fact, in the late 60s and early 70s, in Cave Junction, I've seen some of the signs or pictures of the signs in various stores and gas stations. Hippies not welcome. Hippies not welcome. Some of you lived through that era. Yes, ma'am? We do not solicit hippie patronage. Paul and Shannon, in the fun of it, have a little sign on their front door. Hippies use the side entrance with an arrow. You know? I mean, they're part of that culture. They're just having fun with it. But that was not a sign that was meant to have fun with. It was legitimate. And so also across America at that time period, a lot of the staid church essentially said, you go clean up your act, then you're welcome back here. Cut your hair, take a bath. Dress like us, then we'll tell you about God. And that is when this renegade guy in Southern California named Chuck Smith decided to go out on the beaches and start talking to these people. What a shameful thing, you know? And out of that developed the Calvary Chapel movement, which is a denomination that is ongoing. And whatever you care about that, I don't even care. But the fact is, this man reached out to that people group that was being shunned by most of our culture. We've experienced that. And church to church, there are those churches that are blue-collar churches and those that are tight, button-up, three-piece suit churches. And if you don't dress like them, down or up, there's maybe a patronage, but you know what? Maybe you'd be more comfortable over there. This can still happen and does still happen. Okay? Yes, ma'am?
Yeah, when you were working with the underground church,
yes?
Was it a big deal what people wore to church?
Oddly, most of the people wore very dark and drab colors throughout the country. And these people did as well. And when I was doing most of that ministry, it was in the wintertime, and it was cold. It didn't matter what they were, as long as there was thick padding of it. Now, in the summertime, it was dark and drab. And when we were over there a couple of years ago, it was bright. They got houses that are painted bright pink and bright yellow, and they want to brighten up their country from that drab then. It didn't matter so much that they had to uniform up. They did not care about that. They just wanted to be where they knew God's people would be and wail out in prayer. But it was different a couple of years ago when we were there. Okay, so that's what these people are up against. Here's the setting. They came for Pentecost, and a whole bunch of them came. In fact, back up to chapter 2. Look at this. Go through this with me. Chapter 2, the first speaking in tongues passage, speaking in a different language, the Galileans, or verse 7, are not all these men Galileans? How's this happening? How is it that each of us hear them in our own language to which we were born? Verse 8. Now, verse 9, here is the, if you look at a map, here's Jerusalem and all around it, north, south, east, and west, Parthians and Medes, Elamite, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and districts of Libya around Cyrene, North Africa, visitors from Rome. So there they are. Both Jews and converts to Judaism, proselytes. So they were Gentiles. And then Cretans and Arabs. Really, Arabs? Aren't they, you know, the Muslim people? They were gathered together there because they were adhering to the God of Judaism. There wasn't any Muslim yet, correct. We hear them in our own languages speaking the mighty deeds of God. Okay, let's flip ahead to chapter 6. Chapter 4 and 5, all of them were together at this great big festive time. Their needs are being met. You ever had this experience? It's Thanksgiving. We got one coming up. And you got relatives coming. And then they stay an extra day or two. or three. And you start wondering, when are they going to go? Because they're changing the dynamic of our home, and I've really run out of what it takes to get along with them. That's what I think is happening right here. They've run out of the stuffing that it takes to put up with these. And these, I don't think it's that they ran out of food. I think that they ran out of really wanting to be with these people because they were more Greek than Jewish. Chapter 6, verse 1. Now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, grace was continuing, gospel, people coming to the Lord, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Greek culture Jews against the native Hebrews, the ones at home, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. And the word overlooked there, it means, the Greek word means to compare. I have two, I get to choose one. Which am I going to choose? And it might be a piece of cake. Oh, this one's larger. Or for some of us, that one's smaller. I can't do sweets for a lot, you know. I compare and I choose. That is the word that is used. These Hellenistic, what group within the Hellenistic people? Specifically, the widows. Do y'all remember what God spanked the Israelite country for back in Isaiah chapter 1? Not caring the widows and the orphans and caring for them. That comes up over and over in the Old Testament. James 1:27, pure religion is this, undefiled before God and the Father, that what? We visit, and that word means minister to, epigenosko, the widows and the orphans in their affliction, as well as keep yourself unspotted from the world. That part we struggle with too. It was the widows being overlooked. And I see it as, here's a widow, here's a, you know, here, let me serve it to you. And whether this lady went hungry or had to wait to the end, we don't know, but they were being compared and then shunned. The complaint arose amongst the brethren. Where did they take the complaint to? Those in charge, because God was building up his organized religion. I don't like that word. Let me back up and say, organized church. There were leaders. They come in verse 2, the 12 stood up. They must have gotten together. I'm thinking they might have been even praying about it. What are we going to do with this? Well, we can go and do what Jesus had us do. He kept giving us baskets of fish and bread, and we can take it out there. We've done that before, right? But verse 2 words a little bit differently. The 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples up to however many. There are some that have gone home, so we don't know the number. And said, it is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. Back up to verse 1. These are being overlooked in the daily diaconia, which comes from the word diakonos, which is where we get our word deacon from, the word serving. The deaconing of the food, the distribution, the serving of the food. Verse 2. Their statement, it is not desirable, they're listening to God, for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. I don't think they had anything against it. They've done it before. But I think they now know their higher calling. They know what God has appointed them to, and they know that there's other people that can kick in and do this in the daily serving of food. There it is again. Diakonos is the word it comes from. The serving of the tables. Now, neglecting the word of God, it's easy to think, well, you know, the pastor's always in a study reading the Bible and all the books about the Bible. I don't think these people were back in any room tucked in just reading their scrolls. You're going to see the word diakonos come in again about that word of God. And it's, to me, it's really kind of a cool thing. God had another plan in mind. And after this selfishness and prejudice came to light, okay, God knew the problem was coming. These people sought God, and he gave them the solution. You need other people to serve so that everything is right and fair, So it can't be people that are just kind of motivated by their own worldview, their own selfishness, if it is that. But there's some qualifiers here. Verse 3, but select from you, brethren, seven men, good reputation, so they're known. They've been tested in that way. Full of the Spirit, and that has to be implied Spirit of God, and of wisdom. How much Spirit of God and wisdom is needed to serve food? Depending on the case, maybe a lot. Those that would go against the current and turn to that widow over here of a different culture and make sure that she is taken care of because God said to do it. There's something going on here that is within the birth of the church, God's organization and setting a pattern for us. What is it in this neglecting of the Word of God? Well, let's see what unfolds here. Whom we may put in charge or epi over this task. We may appoint them to take this task. Verse 4, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry. Diakonos again, or derivative of it for the grammar part. Diakonos of the word, the serving of the word of God. Same word used for the serving of the bread and the food. This is something that Peter already had some really cool marching orders. Back to John 21. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Verse 15. And Peter said, yes, Lord. John 21:15. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. I'm not going to talk about the agape phileo exchange here. I want to talk about Jesus' words. He said to him, tend my lambs. And the word tend there, more than anything else, means to feed them. Peter, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, shepherd my sheep. And the word shepherd definitely has the idea of feeding, but more than that. As the feeding goes on, there is a caring, there is a caressing, there is an anointing of wounds. There is the pushing away of the other sheep that are picking on it. It is a shepherd caring for all of the sheep individually. Peter, do you love me? Shepherd my sheep. Well, you know I love you. And he asks him again, verse 17. Third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And then Jesus said, tend my sheep. From lambs to sheep, tending to shepherding. Why do you think Peter would get that three times? I mean, and there is the theological surmising, well, Peter denied him three times, and now he's kind of being re-upped for ministry three times. Maybe. It may be part of it. I definitely would give some room for that, because Peter needed some encouragement at this point in time. But here, Peter, is what you are to do. Acts chapter 6, it is not desirable for us, the 12, to diakonos, be deacons in this sense of serving tables. Are they willing? Sure. Are they able? Absolutely. But there is a higher calling, and that is the serving of the Word of God. In this text, they had nothing New Testament written. They had Genesis through Malachi in a different order than we have in our Bibles. I don't think they personally had their own little scrolls. That's a lot of scrolls. And that would have been a lot of money to purchase those scrolls. The Word of God is the application of what God had been saying through the Old Testament. The Lord had been defining for 3 years, and now they are to go out and to be His witnesses of the resurrection and how the Old Testament pointed to that. Absolutely. Application, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. There is no other name under heaven by which men must be saved. You know, and on and on and on and on. What is the purpose of it? to propagate that gospel. Guys, that's what we need to be doing, okay? While you are making sure that these ladies are cared for and anybody else that the culture might be resistant against. Out of this, to me, comes a pattern of leadership for the church that really is beautiful. And if you go back in all honesty to the beginning, even in Judaism, the Lord had multiple leaders, set up multiple leadership, but they had a hierarchy. Now, hierarchy, however, didn't mean more importance or more spirituality, maybe even not more ability. It was just God calling them to a certain function. In the New Testament, I want to talk a little bit about our cultural frame of reference here. You got the pastor or pastors. Under the pastors, you've got other leaders. Some churches call them deacons. Some churches call them elders. That's a real funny thing, because I've been in churches that labeled the deacons, but they were doing the work of an elder. Another that called them elders, and they weren't qualified to be an elder biblically whatsoever. They were deaconing. I don't think the label is that important as the function and understanding this function. And underneath these elders and then deacons, you've got the common people. I believe that schematic is turned upside down personally. Tend my lambs. These are what's important for you to do, Peter. You need help. Those that need to take care of the daily requirements of food serving, of hands-on ministry, they are under you, and they are supportive of, excuse me, not under you, Peter, but under this group of sheep or lambs, whichever word you want to use out of John 21. They are undergirders for what we might look at as the common people, the Al Brandts included, right? And then there's elders under that that are truly pastors, according to the biblical definition. Taught that many times, just showing you how that works in the scripture. And I see the function that God has called me to, not being on top of you with you serving me, but the opposite. It's upside down from the way the world looks at it. This other way, it's like, well, look at this special position I'm in. Pretty important, huh? To, wow, look at these people of God that I get to support, serve in one way or another. But for the teaching people to only engage in what others can do kind of undermines God's way of design here. And that is what we have attempted to put in place here in Tacoma, taking a pattern from here without the labeling yet. They're not labeled until you don't see the word elder really in this fashion until Acts chapter 20. But here the word deacon is used in its true sense, not as a label, you know, Deacon Jones. It is, that's what the Greek word was to call it. And we have the word serve. Whether it's serving food, serving the tables, serving the community somehow, or serving the Word of God. It's this common word that is used, serving out. A little bit deeper in Acts 6. Won't go too much further, but I want to definitely bring these around. The statement found approval with the whole congregation. And I think Luke might have included that here because it was kind of miraculous to him. Whoa. They were getting along again? Really? They agreed. Good idea. Instead of, oh, Pastor Dan, you're supposed to be the example and serve the table. You know, they weren't fighting in that sense. They said, oh, that sounds like a good idea. You 12, you go on about your business. We'll take care of this. And so the group chose men that they knew, which that's what we have done. And I hope we'll endeavor to do. People that are known by reputation. People that are known as loving the living God, filled with His Spirit, full of wisdom. And then, of course, as God gave Paul more revelation about this, He gave some other qualifications we'll have to look at. And when we short-circuit those, we shoot ourselves in the foot. And the statement found approval with the whole congregation, and they chose, because Stephen told them to. And by the way, I don't think it was voting. I don't think there were ballots. Somehow, in the communication in the group, the names came up with agreement. Yeah, Stephen or Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip. Some of these guys we never see again. Those two we'll see again. And Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon. By the way, all these are Greek names. And one of them, the next one, is a Gentile himself. Really? A Gentile to serve Jews? Can the Jews accept that? Can the Gentile, you know, the Spirit of God was in charge. Parmenas, and then Nicholas is the guy. A proselyte, a convert from Antioch, Gentile. And these, they brought before the apostles, they're not done yet. And after praying, they laid their hands on them, which is at least symbolic, if not it's actual, passing on, the word is used too loosely today, but a mantle of authority and leadership. The authority to do this. How much of that is needed to serve food to people? According to what I'm reading here in God's history of God's building of a church, it was crucial that these were men of God that performed these functions. Brought them together in front of all, and after praying, laid their hands on this one and this one and this one. And so from then, what has happened in church culture is we must have 7 deacons. You know, God, you know, 7, it started that way. It's still, you know, I don't think it's a magical number that everybody has to apply. If you don't have 7 qualified men, don't have 7 deacons. And you might be of a church size that is critical. You have 70 deacons. It's okay. Just make sure of their qualifications. That is the crucial thing. And that is why there has been so much destruction in our culture, within Christianity and within the local churches across the board. More often than anything, I have seen at the root of the destruction, church to church that I've been associated with, known about, sometimes called in to assist, it has been within the unqualified or disqualified leadership. Should not have ever been there. Short circuit God's way. Beautiful pattern set up. And then there's the next layer of beauty. They all agreed. Sounds good. And apparently that problem did not come up again. The prejudice was taken care of. What kind of thoughts are in your mind? Anybody? Interaction, questions, or comments?
I was thinking of the prejudice that Daniel said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth?
He let it show, didn't he? Nathaniel. Yep. How could it possibly be that the Messiah would come from Nazareth? Can anything good come from it? Right. Exactly. It can be inbred and senseless. No, just passed on in the DNA or something. I don't know. Just in the culture. Wow. One of...
changed a bit, haven't they?
No.
From the beginning, too.
Sin is still sin. Let's call it that. Right. I do remember being back in Florida and being shocked. Shared this with some of you at least before, pulled into a gas station to get gas. On the other side of the aisle was a black lady filling her tank up. And I just said some common chat word like I would to anybody I don't know, you know, you having a good day or whatever, I don't know. And she turned on me with fire in her eyes as if I had taken a club to her mom or something. It's part of the culture back there. And I didn't understand the depth of it until I started looking around and understanding that. So sad to me. So sad. Yeah. Okay, anybody else? Yes?
It seems to me that we're all prejudiced in some way towards one thing or another, though. And a lot of those prejudices are there because of factual things that exist within people.
What? You're Muslim?
even anything. There's many of things that certain prejudices are there for a reason.
Yes, they are.
And the miracle of God, Craig, is when God can take us out of that and see that individual the way God sees them. And I do include Al Brandt. Now, it wasn't that people, they were just awkward and uncomfortable with him because he was different. But there are those hateful toward them, but they don't even know the person. Don't know what God is doing in their life and may want you to invest some, you know, planting of seed in there. Yes, ma'am?
I just want to express how glad I am there's multicultures in this church. We had an incident this week at our home where a young man showed up with a car broken down. Couldn't speak any English hardly at all. Thank goodness he came to our driveway. Two driveways down, he would have been met with a gun. That's how our neighbor meets people. They would not have even let him toward the gate. But because there was such an English barrier, we had someone in church that knew the language. We called Jose. You know, thank goodness, because there was such a problem communicating. There's no translators, of course, at our house. We don't get internet. So, you know, we can't go Googling things at our house. They can't get a lot of the Wi-Fi off the sky things either, so we're kind of in a dead hole. But you know, that phone got me Jose. Jose was able to pay questions and answers and answer. God used Jose, he used us, he used a non-believer to get this car running for this kid and get him home, and the car didn't run anymore because of further damage that was found. But Jose, I don't know if you're here, I see your kids.
He's back there.
I tell you, thank you, brother, because you helped Jennifer. You were a witness to Jennifer. She lives with us. You were kind-hearted to all of them, and you helped us over a hump there. Now, I appreciate the fact that we do have multicultural culture. My mom was not raised that way. She's from the South as well. There was fear of black people, horrible fear. You know, she moved to the West Coast. I wasn't taught that way. Fear tends to be brought on by unknown, sometimes known examples, but at least we're finding around our house and our community, the people we associate with, there's not so much prejudice. And I just wanted to give a hand to those that help.
Amen. Amen.
Our brother Dan Middleton and I have talked about him being white and black, mom and dad. He looks more black than white. I mean, you guys know Dan. And we've talked about what he is up against in this area. He has to continually be on his guard, watching out. There are people that hate him here because of his color of skin. Hate him. Pray for him. You know? Pray for him. And it may be another culture or another reason. If somebody comes to your mind, pray for them, you know, and come alongside. I personally would stand in the gap in
front of Dan. I decided that a long time ago. That's where my heart is. Yes, ma'am?
There can also be prejudice within the church.
Yes.
You know, the different denominations or whatever. And somebody might say, well, I'll never go to a Baptist church because when I went 26 years ago, this happened or whatever. And, you know, somebody could walk in here and there could be somebody here that is mean to someone or whatever. And then they could, well, I'll never go to those Bible churches again, but you know, so we have to be careful how we're greeting people and how we're handling
Absolutely.
Situations and all that.
After several years of trying to deal with each other, Pastor Doug, Pentecostal, and Pastor Dan, non-Pentecostal, had to come together and say, would you forgive me? Mm-hmm. We forgave each other.
Are you implying we have sinners here?
Yeah. He is my brother and he's on the team. You know, he's my brother and he's on the team. And ever since then, there's been such a freedom, you know, because we just held on to stuff that we brought into the picture. Exactly what you're saying. From whatever, it doesn't matter, let go. You know, be that man of God, woman of God today. So, all right, I would like to go into a communion time. I think that also involves multicultures because it's the same Jesus that died for the salvation of any human being, whatever their culture. Right? Did I say that right? Doesn't matter the culture. He goes beyond that.